You can go to John 10:10. John 10:10. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And more abundantly means no hassles ever in the Greek. So there you go. I'm done. Actually, it doesn't mean no hassles ever or never a problem or no pressure. It means above the ordinary measure. Life above the ordinary measure. Jesus Christ had this to say in John 16, if you want to go there. John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have what?" Look around, where are you right now? In the world, yay. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. And tribulation means pressure, or compression. It means like, you know what it's like to be in a tight space where you feel like you're being pushed and you know, you're just like crowded? In the world, that's what you're going to have. And the only way to avoid that is to leave the world. Can you leave the world? No. So as long as you're in the world, you're going to have pressure. That's just the way it is. Look at 2 Corinthians 1. And if you feel pressure in your life, that's normal. It's not like, what's wrong with my life? Well, what's wrong with your life is you're in the world. You shouldn't have been born on the world. You should have been born on Mars with Matt Damon. You should have been helping Matt Damon make potatoes or whatever he did. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant." And ignorant means we want you to know this. We don't want you to not know this. "For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch..." This doesn't sound like the abundant life. "Insomuch that we what? Despaired even of life." God doesn't want us ignorant that life can be hard. And if you're going to stand on the word, you're going to have pressure. I don't want you to be ignorant that, like the leaders, especially, they got in trouble. There was trouble. And they were pressed out of measure, just pushed, attacked, above. It seemed like they didn't have the strength to handle it sometimes. Above strength, insomuch that what's that say? Despair. Sometimes it sucked. Sometimes it sucked. And we want you to know that. God didn't hide that. He's not hiding that. You might not want to use this verse when you're witnessing to people. 1 Thessalonians 3, wait till later. Maybe this should be like the second week of fellowship or something like that. 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 4. "That no man should be moved by these afflictions." By these afflictions. "For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily..." That was verse 3, sorry. "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before..." What? "That we should suffer tribulation." And tribulation, once again, is to be pushed. To be pressed upon. To be pressed hard upon. That's what this world is all about. And that's what happens in this world. And as long as you're in the world, you're going to have pressure. In the book of Acts, they moved the world. All these great things happened, but then the answer was always something hard and bad. And that's how it works. And so I think we should go home now. We should get in bed and not come out till the gathering together. Philippians 1:27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, you believe on him, but also to what? To suffer for his sake. And it's not saying, you know, God makes you suffer and you should enjoy suffering. Suffer means to be acted on from without. In other words, you're going to be acted on. That's a statement of truth in God's word, that when you're born again, you're going to be acted on. Now, this word can mean acted on in a good way, like maybe people give Emma presents today. Everybody should give Emma either a present or $20, I would think, or some fancy cheese, maybe something like that. It could be good, but in this context, it's bad. You know, everybody gives Emma, smacks her in the face. That would be bad. And it's just stating the truth that while you're in the world, you're going to be acted on. Can you take it? You're going to be acted on. And it says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of who? It's for the sake of Christ. You're going to be acted on because it's Christ in you. Because you take the place of the absent Christ in this world. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. And what did the adversary do to Jesus Christ while he was in the world? He acted on him. He acted on him. And if nobody believes that it's Christ in you, the adversary does. He knows who you are. And he knows what you can do. He knows that you can take people out of his kingdom and put them into the kingdom of God by telling them Romans 10, 9, and 10. He knows that you have more power than he that is in the world. He knows what you can do. Like when you walk into a room, if there's a spirits in the room, they know who you are. And they want to know if you know who you are. They'll check you out. They'll see if you have any confidence. They'll see if you're bold. They'll see if they can back you down or whatever. They know. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, representatives. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's what? That's the same word. In behalf of. We are here on behalf of Christ. And we represent the absent Christ in this world with the power. Look at 1 John 4. This is a truth. I mean, was it a prayer and a manifestation when someone said the truth about you this morning? I know the truth about you. This is the truth about you, whether you acknowledge it or not. The truth about you in 1 John 4 is, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you because of the Christ in you than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ already defeated the adversary, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you have so much power on this earth that you're a threat. You are a threat to the kingdom of the adversary. And so, since you represent the absent Christ, you're going to be treated like the absent Christ, especially if you decide to walk like the absent Christ. And you shouldn't feel bad that you're treated that way in this world. Look at John 15. You shouldn't wonder what's wrong if you get treated like the absent Christ in this world. You know what's wrong? You're acting like the absent Christ. You're walking like Jesus Christ. You're using that Christ in you to represent God. And where you are on this in this world, the presence of Christ is. People can get to know God. People can be freed. In John 15, I'm in Zechariah. John 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It's not saying everybody you meet, every person's going to hate you, but the systems of the world are run by the adversary. And if you're going to walk like you're called to walk, equal to your calling, with the Christ in you, which is more power than he that is in the world, you're a threat, and you're going to be attacked. So my suggestion is you tell the adversary you're not going to walk, and he'll leave you alone. Or I have another solution. We have a machine in the room with all the stuffed animals over here that'll take your Holy Spirit out. And then maybe you won't get attacked. You'll be back in the kingdom of the adversary. You won't have eternal life. And he'll take you captive at his will, but maybe he'll leave you alone a little bit. Okay? There's really only one way to live this life, and that's forward, you know, on the offense. Go back to Philippians. Philippians 1. And you might notice this when you leave this camp. You might hit pressure on Saturday. You might not be able to find fresh lettuce in the supermarket. And you'll wonder why. What am I doing wrong? And probably you go to the wrong supermarket. Philippians 1. Why? Because you're trying to walk. You're a threat. Philippians 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given on in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to be acted on for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Now, conflict is contest or fight or struggle. And he wrote this from jail in Rome, and they knew that he was in jail. He was in a struggle, and he wrote this to the Philippians, and the Philippians saw him in a big struggle, in a big fight. They saw the Apostle Paul in a fight. And, you know, you wonder sometimes why leaders seem to get into trouble so much or things happen, because there's a lot of pressure, because the adversary wants to get rid of them. It's not because they don't believe or they stole the abundant sharing or something like that or whatever. It's because there's just a lot of pressure. And that's why it's good to have a psychiatrist believer sometimes. Look at Acts 16. Verse 11. Look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. So they went to Macedonia because God by revelation told him to go to Macedonia. And in verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. We went witnessing by the river. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. You know, the Lord can't open someone's heart if they don't hear the word. Whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She was interested in this. She wanted this. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She took them home. Everything's going great. God told them to go there. They went there. They got someone in the word. And she was a seller of purple. And they stayed at her house. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She said a lot of sooths and made a lot of money at it. And the same followed Paul and us. She followed him around crying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Just all day, fall around saying that. This she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So he was walking like Christ. He spoke the word like Jesus Christ. He got people born again like Jesus Christ, cast out devil spirits like Jesus Christ. He was where he was in that city was the power and presence of God because he was walking. Verse 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, the hope of our gains is gone, they caught Paul and Silas and gave them special candies and nice hats. They caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates, they tore off their clothes, And they were and they got beaten. They had their clothes torn off, and I'm going to show you this. No, they had their clothes torn off, and they beat them. And when they had laid what? They got many stripes upon them. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So their feet are in stocks. They are in pain, a lot of pain. Their clothes are ripped off, and they turn to each other and go, "Are you sure that guy was from Macedonia that you saw in the vision? What kind of clothes did he have on? Are you sure it was Macedonia? We must have screwed something up, because I'm in pain. I'm physically in pain. I've been beaten. I'm in jail. So are you sure it wasn't an Egyptian that you saw? What did we do wrong?" What did they do wrong? They stood. They walked for God. They were such a threat to that area that the adversary had to treat them like he treated Jesus Christ. That's the pressure. Look at 2 Timothy 3. Are you there already? I hear no pages turning. You're still writing? What, want me to repeat it? They said they were going to the place, and they went there anyway. 2 Timothy 3. You ever wonder why you are in pain sometimes, and you get attacked, and you know it seems like things are against you? You're hurting? Your heart's hurting? Well, maybe that's because you're standing, because you're trying to do something. You know, there is pressure. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra." You know, they knew. They knew when they looked at Paul, he wasn't sitting in a chair somewhere directing everyone to do stuff. They knew that he took the pressure. He's the one who took the pressure as a leader. And they saw him go through it. They saw him go through persecutions. And persecutions is pursuit as by enemies. Is that what your life feels like sometimes? Well, that's... This doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It means you're probably doing something right. What's the old saying? If you don't see the devil coming at you, you're probably walking with him. Not that anyone else would do that. But persecutions are pursuit. You just feel like you're being chased, like someone's always after you. That's this life. That's this life. If you want to stand for God and walk for God, you're going to feel that way. And you're not going to be able to get rid of that until you fall asleep or the gathering. That's right. And afflictions is pain. Sometimes you're going to be in pain. Sometimes you're going to suffer. Things aren't going to go your way all the time. Verse 11, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra." Did you ever go any place where things went well? Yeah. Look at Acts 13. Acts 13, 14. "But when they..." Remember the three cities I read? Renewed Mind Challenge, number 43. Remember the three cities? Antioch? Lystra, okay. "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." Verse 42 says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue," he said the whole sermon, "when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." So they were speaking the word to people like they're supposed to. "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." All these people were getting into the word, getting blessed, getting set free. "The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city," came together to hear the word of God. Can you imagine? A whole community came together to hear them speak about God. "But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy." They had so many people wanting to hear the word that the Jews were envious. They didn't like it. "And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." So they had these people saying, "Those guys are wrong. Don't listen to them." And so Paul quit. Wasn't going his way. Then Paul and Barnabas, what did they do? That's what you got to do. Don't be shocked that you're persecuted. Don't be shocked that people speak against you. Wax bold. It's the only direction you can go. You can't run away, because then you'll jump on your back. You got to wax bold. They waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Yay, we get to be a part of this. And glorified the word of the Lord. The word is so great. This is setting us free. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as were ordained to eternal life, the ones who were supposed to have eternal life, you know, that, you know, God knew and stuff, believed. And the word of the Lord was published. How? Don't do that. Because you're going to get attacked. Okay? Don't act like the absent Christ. Don't set people free. Don't help people. It's my advice to you. Verse 20, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. So the devout and honorable women got all mad. We probably attacked them with blow dryers or something like that. Super hot laser blow dryers. And the chief men of the city, you know, all the mayor and the district attorney, all the important people of the city, and raised what? They were attacked Paul and Barnabas. And what'd they do? Kicked them out. They kicked them out of town. Why did they get kicked out of town? They weren't believing. Why did they get kicked out of town? They were believing. They were taking the place of the absent Christ in that town. And who didn't want him in that town? The adversary. So they were kicked out. But they shook the dust off their feet against them and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with what? There was still joy. Joy is an inside job. It doesn't matter what goes on the outside. And with the Holy Ghost. In chapter 14, verse 1, that was Antioch. That's what happened at Antioch. So in Antioch, they spoke the word to these people. So a lot of people got born again and got blessed. They got eternal life. But the top, the fancy women with red vests on, I think it was. I don't know. Red leopard vests, I think they wore back then. And the mayor and all those people, they kicked him out of town. So they go to the next town and go, let's handle ourselves a little different this time. We don't want the hassles. Look what happened. Look what just happened to us. Look at I don't want that to happen again. And it came to pass, verse 1, in Iconium, that they went both together. What? Same thing? Into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke the same thing in the next town, in Iconium, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and a bunch of people, believe, which means they got born again, set free from the power of the adversary, eternal life, Christ in them now also, which means all these people had greater, was he that was in them than he that was in the world. Is the adversary like that? And great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. The Jews came in, stirred everything up, made these people be hated. Made Paul and his company be hated. Why were they hated? Because they weren't good people. No, because they were standing on the word and representing Christ in that town. Do you think they enjoyed being hated? No, they didn't. They just took it because of what they were doing. Long time, therefore, they quit speaking boldly because they hated being hated. They didn't like being hated, but they were about representing God on this earth, helping people. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord without fear, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. They kept speaking boldly, and there were signs and wonders being done, which means people were healed, spirits were cast out. All sorts of wonderful things happened in people's lives. But the multitude of the city was divided. It divided the city. And you know, that wasn't fun. The multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews. We like the Jews. We like the Jews. And part with the apostles. No, we like the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with the rulers, rulers evolved again, with the rulers to use them despitefully, and this time they came to stone them. They came to kill them. They were aware of it, and they stood on a rock, and lightning killed all the bad Gentiles and Jews. They were aware of it, and what? They had to run. They had to run away. That's what fled means. Sometimes you got to do what God tells you to do. You don't always just, you know, okay. They had to run. They fled. They had to run away from that city because they were coming to stone them. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, under the region that were there. And this time they didn't preach the gospel. They were tired of being attacked. What did they do? Were they doing anything wrong? They were standing for God. And if you're going to stand for God, there's going to be pressure. And there sat a certain man in Lystra. This guy has three strikes against him. He was impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, and he never walked. The same heard Paul speak who got revelation. You could be teaching in a fellowship, and God would say, notice that guy? Tell him to stand up. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had believing to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And went, was that a good thing? The guy was set free. He'd never walked before, and he walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Barnabas looks like Jupiter. Paul looks like Mercury, because he speaks well. And the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. And Paul goes, this is finally the reception I was hoping for. Finally. Barbecue. Lays. Thank you. I just have to say that I'm Mercury. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their clothes and ran in among the people saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities, this useless stuff, unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So they taught, look, we're not gods. Those gods aren't even gods. We're trying to teach you about the real God. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people and, what? This time they did stone him. So it's not a good trip, is it? Well, it is a good trip. How many people got born again? How many people got the power of God in them? How many people got eternal life? And, you know, if you're a leader or if you're going to do this, you might have to pay a price for that. I'm sorry. So you can do nothing, but doing nothing, you'll still have pressure. Or you can go forward and make a difference. And where you are, it's like Jesus Christ is there. But someone won't like that. They stoned him. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. What do you think, how much stoning would you have to take to look like you're dead? I mean, stoning means to hit you with, throw rocks at you, right? So they threw rocks at him until he appeared to be dead. He probably was dead. So what do you think he looked like? He looked dead. There was probably blood. Probably broken stuff. Why did that happen? Because he didn't believe that day? No, because he acted like Jesus Christ on this earth. He represented God on this earth. He stood in his stead. Drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he left. he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel, what? Stop it. Stop. Quit it. Could you take that? When they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they went right back to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. They went right back in. They went back to those places. Confirming the souls. They got together with the people who did get born again and helped them to stand. Confirming the souls of the disciples, excuse me, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must through what? Don't tell me this, please. I don't want to know this. That we must through what? That it's there's pressure. That's what they told them. They saw them go through it. And when they ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, there's the prayer, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They went back into those cities and confirmed those churches and ordained elders. Back in Acts 16, 2 Timothy 3, Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Fully known means to accompany side by side or to follow closely, then to follow closely in the mind. One of the reasons Acts was written is so that we can also follow Paul's example. Thou hast fully known. You can. It's like you were right there with him. And if you were right there with him, he wasn't sitting in the background directing things. He was up front taking the pressure, and that's what a leader does. And that's maybe sometimes why you see your leaders go through hard times. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. Manner of life is how I conducted myself. Purpose is my resolve that I didn't quit. You know that when I was beaten, when we were kicked out, I kept going. You know that. And you know that too because of the book of Acts. You know that's what a leader does. And then it says long suffering. Long suffering is, it's the word for a long time before being angry, macrothumia. But it can also mean, thumia is translated lust sometimes or a word close to it. It just means passions. And he just, it took a lot for him to get cranked, to give up, to have despair. He just lived through it. He lived through it. He took it. Sometimes you're going to have to take it. Sometimes you're going to have to take it. Right? In 1 Corinthians 13:7, it says, love endureth all things. That's one of the words for you just buckle. You just take it because you love. And they saw this in him. They saw when these things happened, when he got kicked out of cities, when he got attacked, when he got, you know, his clothes torn off and stuff like that, he was okay. Not, what's wrong with my life? Ah, this is horrible. And patience, it says, patience. And patience is a remaining under pressure. When pressure hits, you stay. Sometimes one translation of this is to remain under when others leave. In other words, the pressure hits, you stay. You stay. You keep standing for God. You keep the word in your mind. You don't listen to your old man. You stay. It means a remaining under, bearing up under, holding out, to remain behind when others are gone. Persecutions, verse 11, afflictions, which I showed you persecutions. You want to see it again? No, I don't think so. Afflictions, which is just pain, which came to me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. And now we read those records. You saw how he was. What persecutions I endured. Endured means to carry by being under, to bear up, to bear patiently. When you get pressure on you, you don't wait till the pressure's off to move. You just move with the pressure on you. You understand? You move with the weight on you. You don't wait till it's gone. You keep going. That's endured. But look at this. And this is a good way to end this first however many minutes it was. Here's a light note. He endured. He, even though there's pressures on him, he just kept moving with that pressure on him. But out of them all, what? That's what you got to remember. God will deliver you.